COVID vaccines. Just another fun little conversation starter that's sure to cause family fights at Thanksgiving.
How are we going to get past this idea that it's a conversation without it being riddled with judgment, conflict, and flying stuffing, for lack of a better term?
That's Matt Mollenhauer with Chestnut Health Systems. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for The Leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, connecting business and leisure travelers to the world on American Delta, Frontier, and Allegiant. Central Illinois Regional Airport, your trip starts here. More at CIRA.com.
It's Tuesday, November 23rd. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with District 87's school board announcing that Dave Mauser will be their new superintendent, taking the place of the retiring Barry Riley next July. Charlie Schlenker has more on Mauser, who currently leads the Tri-Valley District in Downs.
Dave Mauser will replace Barry Riley next summer. Board President Mark Wiley says they did a nationwide search and ended up with a McLean County native.
He rose to the top, I would say. His enthusiasm and his leadership, and the way that he was able to get along with people.
Tri-Valley is a suburban and rural district. District 87 is an urban one. Wiley says he's not worried about the adjustment for Mauser.
By naming a superintendent this early, there will be a lot of collaboration between him and Dr. Riley. There will be a shift, but with the way everything we had, anyone we talked to about Dave was so positive about him and how he worked with people, we're confident that he will.
Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. The hedge fund Alden Capital is making a push to buy Lee Enterprises, the newspaper chain that includes Bloomington's Pantograph. Alden has a reputation for cutting newsrooms not long after buying them. Unit 5 and District 87 schools have both seen a rise in new coronavirus cases just ahead of the Thanksgiving break. Both districts have had their highest caseloads of the semester last week among students and staff. And the women's soccer team at Heartland Community College has claimed the program's first national championship. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. The COVID vaccine is a big reason why we'll soon be able to share a big holiday meal together with our extended families for the first time in 2 years. And the vaccine is also a big reason why that might be miserable. That's because the life-saving vaccine is also strangely polarizing, and it's bound to be a thorny topic of dinner conversation at Thanksgiving and beyond. To help us navigate some family vaccine etiquette, I spoke with Matt Mollenhauer, Chief Clinical Officer at Bloomington-based Chestnut Health Systems. We started with a simple dilemma. What should you consider if your vaccinated family is invited to a gathering where you know that Uncle Bob or Aunt Alice are not vaccinated?
But I think it comes down to just a respect for people's personal choice. And in your example, a family may have to decide that they're not going to attend out of their own discomfort because of the status of everybody else, or questioning that. But I think one of the tricks in there, Ryan, is do they really know the status of everybody else? Is it an open conversation in the family? Can we assume that Uncle Bob is unvaccinated, or is he very vocal and we know that as a fact based on his Facebook profile or whatever, and how that then changes things. So I think it's a lot about being really upfront and then judging your own comfort while trying to not judge someone else's stance or position.
How appropriate is it to ask, are you guys vaccinated by chance? Should we be masked up in your house? How much prodding do you think is appropriate there?
The unfortunate part is the second you ask the question, it's labeled, it's judged, it's critiqued, it's you must think I'm wrong if I'm not, or how I answer or whatever. And really, it's simply a gathering of facts at this point. So who's all coming? And, you know, whoever the host is, are you aware of the vaccination status for everybody who's coming? And we'd be interested in knowing. And that's because we're protecting our family, but we're interested in protecting everybody else who's there as well. And so I think it has to be a fair topic. And if you think of a typical Thanksgiving or Christmas family get together, you know, who's bringing stuffing, who's bringing pie, who's got vaccine should be right on the list of questions. It shouldn't be treated any different.
Okay. Once you're actually at a family get together and people start talking and it's, oh, did you hear what President Biden did on this? Or did you hear what Aaron Rodgers said about about ivermectin or whatever. And I think, you know, people struggle with like, how much should I engage here? Should I just kind of let the person talk? Should I engage and go back and forth with them?
If you're walking into an environment and you're aware that there's the possibility of disagreement, it may be worth the extra step to just say, okay, the following topics are off limits during this event. We're not going to talk politics. We're not going to talk COVID. We're not going to talk, you know, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, whatever it is you want to say, but the following topics are off limits. And, you know, we're here to spend time as family and we're not going to get into debate. In scenarios where I think the person's opinion is unknown, it's interesting, Brian. My observation of this, and this comes from kind of my mental health background, you know, this has been a really rough 18 months, 2 years for people. I mean, you take COVID and you pile politics on top of it and labor shortages and all that stuff and, you know, can't find goods and supplies and all of that. What the natural reaction for most people is to kind of become a little self-defensive. You know, how do I protect myself? How do I protect my family? That's physically, but it's also how do I protect my belief system? And so very quickly, someone who has a different belief system than I do, I will be tempted to defend my belief system as right and prove that person's belief system is wrong. And I think that's the trap we're all falling into right now.
So much of our digital lives now are spent, like on social media, inside of these little echo chambers and silos of people who generally agree with you on a lot of this, you know, COVID stuff or politics in general. And so these family gatherings are like one of those few cases where you are literally in a room and face to face with people who maybe don't share your political belief system. And it just doesn't typically happen that often.
Yeah. Don't you think it's become divisive, though? I mean, wasn't there a point in time where people could sit around the table and talk differences in opinion on the political side and not have it be judged as false news or judged as unfactual or judged as frankly wrong? And I think we've lost touch with that. I mean, you never heard, I never remember growing up, you know, my dad saying that he wasn't going to talk to the neighbor because they were a Democrat or a Republican. And now you get this in the context of even family dynamics. And I think that comes out of, I really do believe it comes out of the stress of the last year, and that you can tie all of this to this idea that, you know, when pushed into a corner, what do? I have to defend myself. And so I have been stressed out for whatever number of reasons in the last year and a half. So I will defend, you know, my belief system, and I'll do that pretty vehemently, you know, I being any individual. And in order to do that, that means I have to judge everybody else's belief system as wrong. You know, how are we going to get past this idea that it's a conversation without it being riddled with judgment and conflict and, you know, and flying stuffing, for lack of a better term, you know?
That's Matt Mollenhauer, Chief Clinical Officer for Bloomington-based Chestnut Health Systems. Before I let you go, a light week for meetings as the holiday approaches. There is a Bloomington Housing Authority board meeting today, though, from 4 to 6. And that's it for today. Support for the Leadoff on WGLT comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, connecting business and leisure travelers to the world on American, Delta, Frontier, and Allegiant. CIRA, your trip starts here. More information at CIRA.com.